If you have your Bibles, you can go to Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. I'm excited about this series. And if we'll renew our minds to these things, how many of you know that's the whole thing? You know, thinking like Him, thinking in line with what He's said and is doing. And there's a purpose of this series. We'll get to it. But we need to renew our minds to these things if they're going to benefit us. But if we will renew our minds to them, my goodness, what a benefit they'll have. But Father, thank You for this night, Lord, that You have given us. Father, this service was planned before the foundations of the world. You had already done it. Father, thank You for planting a church right in our backyard, Father, that's a word church, a spirit church that has connections to such great ministries and it's just such rich blessings that we have. We're thankful. And Father, we know that the gathering together to hear Your word, it's our help, it's our answer, it's our direction, it's our encouragement. Father, it's our correction if we need it. And so, Father, we welcome all of it, Father. Whatever You want to say, however You want to say it, Father, whatever we need tonight, we thank You. We're in the presence of Jehovah Jireh, the need meter. Praise God. And so whatever we need, Father, I thank You through these messages, through this series, Father, You're trying to take us somewhere. And it's somewhere better, somewhere higher, somewhere further and deeper with You. And so we don't count this as a light thing, Father. We're humbled to be in Your presence. We love You. Thank You for utterance and boldness tonight. Thank You for helping us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Luke chapter 18 in verse 1 says this, "And He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and to not faint." Amen. And so we are talking about prayer, and we're going to go over a little bit of what we talked about last week, but this is our launching place, because here we have the Savior telling us how we cannot faint in life, which our really all that stands between us and our reaping is not fainting. Because didn't He say that if you faint not, you'll reap? And so He's so wonderful to tell us how we can go about our lives so that we won't faint. He's saying to us, basically what He's saying to us is, He taught men always to pray, and if they'll always pray, they'll always receive. Right? Because if you don't faint, you receive. And if you faint, you're going to miss out on what God has for you. And so we're talking about prayer, and I told you this series has been on my heart for a long time, didn't know the direction. And I was grateful, you know, because not only helped me, but I know it helped so many people. The direction that He took it, because there's lots of places you could go with prayer. And I'm so glad that He took it right at ground level, right from the beginning, right at the basics. And basics, you know, doesn't mean lesser. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're missing out. It's where He wants us to start. He wants us to grow from here and build a foundation. And, you know, so many times I talk with a lot of people and you know, I'm around a lot of people and talking spiritual things. And I see that there's walls between people and God. And especially, you know, when it comes to prayer, you know, we looked at last week that what is prayer? It's just communication with the Father. It's fellowship with Him. It's interaction with Him. And you know, if you're seasoned in prayer and you pray a lot and, you know, and your mind's renewed in this, maybe that would seem foreign. But I'm telling you, even in my own life at times, it feels like a wall between me and God. You know, if I start thinking wrong, you know, if I start listening to the wrong voices or am influenced in the wrong way or, you know, think wrong about myself or think wrong about Him, there's a wall between us. And that wall is meant to what? To keep us out from what He has for us. And a lot of people will stay away from prayer because they're ignorant when it comes to prayer. You know, ignorant in how to pray. And we talked about this last week. There are guidelines. And I hate to use the word rule because that sounds so harsh and black and white. But there are guidelines and there are spiritual rules in prayer. But that ought not to suck the life out of it. And prayers become legalistic with people at times, of prayers become a clocking in, clocking out thing, and prayers become a, I have to. And I'll tell you, all those things are not life. They're not liberty. They're not the flow of the Spirit. And your Father is not looking for that in your prayer time. And, you know, we want to just get people praying. That's the whole purpose of this series, is to get people praying. And I believe that when we renew our minds to some of these things, especially last week's message, how could we not pray? How could we not come to Him knowing some of these things? And again, we'll do a quick review here. But, you know, I want to simplify things. And real quick, go to James chapter 4 and verse 8. James chapter 4 and verse 8. And remember, we were talking about how, you know, a lot of people, they stay away from it because they don't think they can do it. But if it's broken down in simple form, maybe you'll go down that road. And remember, we used the example of my food plot that I planted, my first ever food plot that I planted. And, you know, I had a neighbor that's really good at hunting and has taught me quite a bit about, you know, hunting in the short time I've been friends with him. And he said, I can't believe this, and it's your first time. It's one of the best food plots I've ever seen, and it is. It looks like it should be in a magazine. I mean, I'm not... You say, wow, you're full of yourself. No, I just followed the instructions of what this guy I met. You know, I was very intimidated for years, kind of didn't want to go down that road, and met a gentleman who sells seed and is knowledgeable about this stuff. And he was so kind, and he'd always pull up a chair for me when I got there and take time and just walk me through this stuff step by step. And I was able to text him when I was out in the field and things, and send him pictures and know seed depth and what to do with the soil, when to till, when to disc, when to fertilize, when to plant, what depth for the, you know, all that stuff, when to spray. And he just was so good to help me with it, and it just came up perfect. I mean, it's beautiful. This is so dumb. I don't even know what they are. Are they beets? I don't know. Are they beets, those big things? Because there's turnips there, there's radishes there, and I don't know what the big round things are, but they're big. And when the frost hit, the deer are going to like it, and I'm going to be sitting there over my tree stand waiting for them. Yeah, come out, Mr. Buck. Come out for dinner. We got to come out for dinner. Hallelujah. And so once we find out the same things when it comes to things concerning prayer, and we find out how easy and simple this kind of stuff is, we're going to want to walk right into that. Amen? We're going to want to walk right into that and do that and say, hey, we can do this. We want to do it. There's a great, great benefit to doing it. And look what it says in James chapter 4 and verse 8. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Look at who it's up to. You know, God in Him of Himself offers us. Didn't we look at a verse, Heaven's Invitation, last week, that God invites us? What is the throne room? The throne room is a place of blessing, right? In His presence, the Bible says, there is fullness of joy and pleasures evermore, right? You know, that is talking about the physical location of where God is, but we don't have to wait to get to heaven in His physical presence to enjoy His presence. And the throne, He says, is a place that you may obtain and receive. Hallelujah. And so we want to go there. Why? Because in His presence, there's pleasures. In His presence, there's blessings. Hallelujah. Fullness of joy. It's where we need to be. And a lot of times we stay out. A lot of times we stay out because of wrong thinking. But notice this. We have to think right because we have to make the first move. Hallelujah. God's waiting for you to make the first move. Hallelujah. If you're in a relationship and you're always the one making the first move, I'll tell you what, the other person's going to think, and you're going to start to think at times, do they not care about me? They never take initiative. You know, they never come up with ideas. They, you know, hallelujah. And God is saying, I want you to make an effort to come into my presence. Amen? Because what's He saying about Himself? I love you. I've already invited you. I've already extended my invitation, my hand out to you. Now, come unto me. And so how much we get of God, how much we get to be with Him, it depends on us. And so what we're trying to do in this series is get you in that place. Amen? Get you in that place, praise God. And so go to me to John chapter 11 and verse 41. Again, this is review, but I'm reviewing on purpose because we need to hear these things to renew our minds to them. John 11 and verse 41. says this, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me.'" And verse 42 says, "I know that you hear me always because of the people which stand by said it." You know what I love about this verse? In the midst of one of what would seem like the hardest natural thing to do in ministry, raise somebody from the dead, that I still have a zero in my resume on that line. Pastor Mike resume, you know, there'll be the Pastor Mike resume. How many people filled with the Holy Ghost? How many people did he lead to Jesus? How many sermons did he give? How many people did he lay hands on? And you get the raising from the dead, nothing yet. So we're still working on the raising from the dead thing. But anyways, naturally, that takes heaven's power. That takes a miracle. And I love the fact that Jesus, in that moment, the only thing he focused on that mattered was that the Father heard him in a time of need. Yes. That's it. He wasn't focused on his anointing. He wasn't focused on how powerful he was. He wasn't focused on his call. He wasn't focused on the mighty miracles he did. In the time of need, in the greatest time of need, all he cared about and his mind was renewed to is, "Father, you hear me." And remember what it says in 1 John 5:14, if we know he hears us, we know we have. That's verse 15, right? And what did we try to get across to you last week? Your Father hears you. Because have you ever had the thought, what's this matter? Is this really even that important? Yes, your Father is all ears. Praise God. And we see in Jesus' ministry that Jesus was heard by the Father. And we know that we can be confident. Why? He invites us there. He tells us. And we saw this, didn't we, in the garden, that God, he didn't have to create human beings. But we can go back to the book of beginnings to see how things were meant to be. And what happened when God created Adam and Eve? What happened when God created Adam and Eve? He fellowshiped with them, didn't he? He walked in the garden with them. Now, I know that's hard for our natural minds to comprehend, but that's the way it was before the fall. God said, "I'm making a creation in my image, my likeness, because this just hit me. Think about when he was walking in the garden. He didn't want to be different from us. Think about that. He created man in his own image. So why? The purpose is so when I'm with them, nothing stands out different that I can fit in with them. I want to be like them, praise God. Hallelujah. I love it. I knew a gentleman who was a really accomplished surgeon. And of course, you know, I'm not saying this is the way it was always, but in his group of surgeons and the people that he was around, he was kind of a down-to-earth gentleman, and they were kind of all, kind of snooty and everything. He got tired of that lifestyle. He quit his job being a surgeon, and he went to work in a factory minimum wage just because he wanted to be around people that he felt like were like him and normal. Amen. I'm not saying surgeons aren't normal. All you doctors out there, watch. I'm not saying that in his group. And he just wanted to be normal. Well, God made us in his image because why? Initially, he was just walking in the garden like it was nothing with them. Just my creation, praise God. Well, why did he create us? Because he wanted something to fellowship with. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we know that, and I love what it said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Well, what is prayer? Being in his presence. What's he saying? I want you to be in my presence all the time. That's how bad I want this. Praise God. And so if you'll renew your mind to last week's message, it will change your prayer life. I had messages from people from other churches that said that was exactly what I needed. Why? People are facing these walls. The devil is throwing thoughts and different things at people. And people are facing these walls. And people are facing these accusations from the enemy. And they're staying out. We're getting thoughts like God's upset with us. God's condemning us. We're not good enough. We don't deserve to be here. Last week's message will clear all that out for you. And get us into that place. And so, what a great benefit. But I want to make it even more simple for us, because I want to take us to be able to start to pray, to start being in his presence, because that's where the blessings are. And so, what do we pray? There's so much we could do here. There's so much thoughts behind this. And I want to show you the starting place that will be a great blessing to you and be a great blessing to God as well. Go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. The starting place of prayer. Again, I know this is basic. You know this is simple. But that was the point of this whole series. I'm tired of it seeming difficult. I'm tired of it seeming like I'm not spiritual enough to pray. You ever had that thought? That I can't pray like so-and-so. No, all prayer is communication with the Father, and you can do it. All planting food plots are is following the directions and putting a seed in the ground. That's all it is. There's no great mystery and huge thing with just follow some instructions and bam. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Matthew 6 and verse 5 says, "And when you pray, you shall not be as hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you pray, enter into your closet. When you have shut your door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father shall in secret reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." And he just says how not to do it. And he says, after this manner, therefore, pray. Now, this is our starting place in prayer. In what? This relationship with God. Remember why? He's longing for this. He's longing. So it's like, okay, he wants me there. What do I say when I'm there? After this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy is or be thy name. Go to Psalms 100 and verse 4. What's Jesus saying? The starting place of prayer is praise and worship. Amen? Psalms chapter 100 and verse 4. So people say, I don't know what to say when I get in that place. Well, we're telling you what to pray, what to start developing that relationship with him. And remember, we told you last week, prayer is an act of faith. Because you're talking to somebody, or I don't kind of call God a somebody, but you're talking to your Heavenly Father, and it's not like talking to a person. There's no instant feedback sometimes, right? There's no facial expressions. There's no body language. There's no words coming out of their mouth, so to speak, all the time that gives you that confirmation. And so it's an act of faith. But now we're showing you what to bring in that place. Last week was breaking down the walls to make sure you get into that place, to know that you're worthy to stand in that place, to know that he wants you in that place, to know that the very reason he created a thing called a human was to fellowship with them. Amen? And someday, I believe, we'll be able to walk with him again. But for now, we have to walk with him this way, in our prayer time and in his presence. And Psalms 100 verse 4 says, enter. Enter. What does that mean? The starting place. Enter into his gates. What is his gates? Where he resides, his presence. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto his name and bless his name, for the Lord is good. I love it. It even tells you, gives you a praise to say right off the bat. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. But verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. So he's telling us, and Jesus is backing up and saying, this is how you pray. We're learning about prayer. How do you pray? Start with this. Now see, I've heard it put this way, that pray, there's different forms of prayer, and we'll look at some of them and different types of prayer in the Bible. They're not all the same. But this is the highest form of prayer. And one of the reasons it's the highest form of prayer is because this is how you should start every prayer, and this is how you should end every prayer. It is the bookends of all prayer. You start with praise and worship, you finish with praise and worship. Amen? Hallelujah. And so that's where we start. Now go with me to John chapter 4. And we're going to take it even further. John chapter 4 and verse 5 we're going to look at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's our goal? Get people praying. Yes. You know, I think sometimes, and I understand this, please don't misunderstand me. There's always a balance here, and this is not a criticism. Because, you know, our goal is to get to deep places with God. It is, because the deep calls in a deep, and to receive from God and get past the flesh and get past. But you got to get there. You got to start somewhere. You know, somebody that's looking to get in shape and to be able to see their abs and their lines in their body. You know, and they're looking at someone that is fully in shape, and they watch that person work out. Well, that person wasn't lifting or doing the cardio that they're doing now when they started on day one. And if you try to give that to someone that's not even working out, it's going to it's going to be too much. It's going to overwhelm them. Their body's not going to be able to handle it. They're not going to enjoy it. You know, it's going to be something that's unattainable. Well, it's the same thing. And you know, we're around real spiritual people. And the founder of the family churches is a prayer. And he talks about praying for hours and hours and hours. And I know that when he says that, he does. And my goodness, if we can get there and do that, we will only be benefited for it. Spending more time with God does not hurt us. But I also know this, that that's like for a lot of people trying to give a two-year-old a 16-ounce T-bone. Here, eat this. Or a one-year-old, here's a steak for you, eat. And it's like, I'm going to choke on that thing. I can't chew that thing down. That thing's going to kill me. And for a lot of people, it's because to even think about getting there, it's like, to get that far, I can't even get through the gates because then there's all these wrong thinking. And so the goal of this whole thing is to just get us in the presence of the Father. And then once we're in that place and start to grow in that place, become faithful to go to that place, even if it's on a basic level, we're still in His presence. We're still talking with Him. And so that's the goal here tonight. And so John chapter 4, let's just start. Let's start in verse 5. Then Jesus comes to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, which Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Someone didn't teach Jesus his manners. Where's the pleas at, Jesus? So now we have found in consecutive weeks that not only is your pastor sweeter than Jesus, because I've never called any of you Satan, but I also say please when I ask for something. So I just want to point that out. But anyways, give me to drink, he said. Okay. Yes, sir. Of course, I'm kidding. You know, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Verse 9, then said the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask to drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that saith unto you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then do you have this living water? And are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children, his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be a well of water springing up to everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you have spoke well, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and he whom you have now is not your husband, and that what you said is true. Jesus, go and prophet on her here. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Remember, we enter into his gates with praise and worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour is come when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship for salvation of the Jews. Verse 23, but the hour is come and now is when the true worshipers, what is worship? Our first thing we ought to do in prayer. Hallelujah. See, last week was getting you to fall in love with the game of baseball, and then we teach you, okay, now you got to stand in the batter's box. Okay, now you got to run between these. I still love the game. It doesn't ruin my love for the game. Okay, now I want to play this game, so I got to be within the lines. Okay, so that's what we're telling you. And so he says, the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him, verse 24, in spirit and in truth. Now, go back to verse 23 and look at the heart of the Father again. The Father seeketh such to worship him. That word seeketh in the Greek, one of the meanings is desire. Your heavenly Father, okay, because what is worship? Worship would be in his presence, giving praise and worship, and we might just define that a little bit going forward here. But he says, I am desiring that you, my child of God, would be in the place with me where you would worship me. I'm actually not just requesting it or suggesting it. I'm seeking for it. I want to find this. I want this. Doesn't that bless you? That blesses me that he's seeking me to worship him. Now, why would God want us or declare to us or desire that he would want us to worship him? See, this is why I love the Holy Ghost, helps us to go deeper, to get into the mind of God. What I love about this is there's always one of two ways you can go with this prayer stuff, right? When, like we talked about last week, 1 Thessalians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You can look at that and say, oh my gosh, I have to pray all the time? You can go in that ditch of religion and law, or you can go right in the center of the row, which is the law of life and spirit and love of God saying, I want you with me all the time. You can look at one of two ways, right? I'm going to choose the way of the Spirit. Well, it's the same way here. Why does God desire worship? Man, has he got a big head? Is he arrogant? Is he narcissistic? Is it just another rule and law put on us? No. And what we're going to show you, and it's going to help you in this, just like it helped you get into his presence, is that this all goes back to the beginning of the fondness he has for us and the relationship of fellowship that God wants to establish with his people. When you see it this way, it will open up praise and worship in a whole new light when you realize that it's not some burden, it's not some box you have to check off. There's such wonderful blessings in doing so, and I want to help you with that. And look at what he says here. He says in verse 24 that if you're going to worship me, do it in spirit and truth. He says, I'm looking for the spirit and truth worshipers. I'm seeking for the spirit and the truth worshipers. Now, here we go. Are you ready? We're going to help you with this. Number one, he says, I want you to worship me from your spirit. What's he saying? Not your flesh and not your mind. Praise God. Not your flesh and not your mind. Now, this will help you. Go to Matthew 15 and verse 7. Matthew 15 and verse 7. We're going to show you what it means to worship him in spirit. Matthew 15, 7. And again, you're going to find out this just goes back to the fondness your Father has for you and the fact that he is craving and longing a true relationship, a true communication with him. Matthew 15, 7, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesying of you saying, so he's saying, Isaiah did well in this prophecy, basically Isaiah was right on. The people draweth near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. What is he saying? They're saying the right things. They're assuming the right stance of worship. I mean, you know, there's a stance and there's a look to praise and worship. See, and they're honoring me, they're drawing me with their mouth, they're honoring me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And then look what it says in verse 9. In vain, they're worshiping me. With their mouth, with their lips, they're praising him. And it's looking the part. But what he's after is the heart of man, not the flesh and the mind actions or the natural. The heart of man, which is what? True worship unto him, right? Where your heart, and one example I heard this way is, you know, people would say, well, how do I worship in spirit? How do I know if I'm worshiping in spirit? How do I know? Well, when you tell somebody you love them, and because when you tell God you love them, you're worshiping him. When you tell somebody they're wonderful, when you tell somebody they're great, do you mean it or not? Well, if you actually, when you tell someone you love them, if you mean it, how many of you know? That's trueness. That's realness. That's you pouring out the real you of your heart. Well, when you tell God you love him and worship him, do you mean it? Well, that would be what? True worship from your heart to him. Amen? Listen to this example that I heard Pastor Nancy tell of a woman that she had told her about that she was in a service. And in this service, this woman was in a service with thousands and thousands of people. And worship was going on. And the music was playing. And thousands of people were worshiping out of their mouth and praising. They were assuming the stance, right? They were assuming the stance of worship, out of the mouth, lifting the hands, looked the part. And it really blessed the woman to see thousands of people worshiping God. And the woman said to the Lord, she said, "Isn't it wonderful to see all these people worshiping you?" She was just moved. "Father, isn't it wonderful?" And God answered her, and I love this. God answered her and said, "Look again." Well, now she looked again the second time. And remember when the prophet could see the angels and the other guy couldn't? He was afraid because there was few of them and many of the people that were trying to kill them. And the prophet then said, open his eyes, basically said, "Look again." Well, when he opened his eyes, his eyes were opened, not to see anything different than the natural, but he was shown into the spirit realm. Well, God told this woman, "Look again." When she looked again, God permitted her to see in that discerning of spirits gift into the spirit realm. Just like right now, if God gave us that gift, we'd see angels. Hopefully no one brought a demon here tonight, because they're not allowed here. Don't be bringing them in here. But we'd see angels. We'd see Jesus, two or three gathered together in my name. Isn't that incredible? And you know what's amazing? That seems so far-fetched, but that is more real than this. That realm made this realm. That's amazing. Hallelujah. And anyway, so he said, "Look again." Now, when she saw into the spirit realm, she saw shafts of light coming from heaven to the people. And in different sections of the church, it was just in small pockets. She said there was a few, not very many. And listen to what God said to her. "These are the only people in this thousands..." He didn't say this, but I added that. "These are the only ones truly worshiping me." Now, we could look at that as what? Thousands of people and only a few shafts of light coming and hitting different pockets of people and different ones going back up to heaven. He said, "These are the only ones." Now remember, there's thousands doing this. There's thousands singing. There's thousands praising the Lord. The only ones that are truly worshiping are the ones that have the shaft of light coming on. He said, "The others have their mind and attention on something else." When your heart is truly in it, your mind and your attention is on Him. Amen. Come on now. How many of us have been out to dinner with somebody or a spouse or a friend, or you're with them and they're saying stuff to you and you're what? "Oh, yeah, that sounds great, yeah." And you're not really engaged in that. Your mind's somewhere else. Your thoughts are somewhere else, right? Your attention is somewhere else. You're not really giving them the proper place of attention. Well, let's be honest. How many of us have done that in worship? We got this going on, and we're singing the song, but our mind is on our bills. Our mind is on the TV show, the football game when we get home. Our mind is on, what do we have to do tomorrow? That's not true worship. True worship is when your heart, the real you, is engaged with the Father. And here are all these people, and he said, the only true worshipers are them. Psalms 111, verse 1. Now again, think about it, not in terms of religion, think about in terms of relationship. What's God saying? "I want your attention." I love it. Caleb at times, and I snapped at him yesterday, and I apologized to him because I thought I was wrong, and I snapped at him about it. But he was taught, we were playing football and things, and at times I'll be doing stuff on my phone and just not paying attention, and he said something. Well, what's he saying? "Dad, I want your attention." You know why my kids love going on a vacation we just went on? Because on that vacation, they get all of me. They want my attention. And that's what your Father is, and that's a precious thing to me, that my kids want my attention. That's what I recognize. Like, wait a minute, he's saying about the phone, not because of any other reason except he just wants my attention. Yeah. And God is saying, I want you to worship me with your heart because I want all of you. Praise God. Think about that. Again, it goes back to the fondness of why God created us. To me, this is just opening up a whole new field of prayer. To go in and explore and just be with him and not have religion. And he's saying, I want my people. Praise God. Psalms 111, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. I'm not going to divide up my attention and divide up my thoughts. No, I'm giving you everything, Father. Praise God. Go to Exodus 20 and verse 1. I love this verse. These verses here in Exodus 20 and verse 1. So God is saying, I want you to worship me in spirit, in real, with your whole heart. I want you to mean it. I want you to be engaged. Glory to God. Exodus 20 and verse 1. And God spoke these words saying, I am the Lord your God, which has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Now look at this. You shall not make unto you any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth, or that is under, or that is in the water and the earth. You shall not bow down yourselves to them. What's he saying? You do not worship these things. What's he saying? For I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God. Woo! What's he saying? I want all of your worship. I want, again, not for any other reason than what? He loves you. He cares about you. He's inviting you. He's saying, please be with me, glory to God. Do you see that there? Praise God. I am a jealous God. I want your time. I want your attention. I want your thoughts on me. I'm seeking this. It's sad that he's got to seek for it. Well, that revelation that woman got shows that there's a whole lot of people not doing this. And I'm telling you, I've been guilty. And I know all of us have been guilty. Where we're just half in, half out. What? Going through the motions. And our Father the whole time is like Caleb off to the side saying, sure wish he'd pay attention to me. Sure wish he'd give me all his time and all his attention. Come on now. Amen. Number one, worship in spirit. But he said, I also want you to worship me in truth. Praise God. I want you to worship me in truth. So he's saying, I want you to worship me in truth. And again, if you think about this, and you think about it in the spirit of why God is inviting us to pray, it goes back to our love for his love for us. See, when we worship in truth, it's worshiping by faith. Now, what do I mean by truth? The word of God is truth. You not being able to pay your bills is a fact. You having symptoms in your body is a fact. But Philippians 4:19 is truth. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5 about healing is truth. And he said, I want you to worship me in truth. Well, that's an act of faith when what? When you worship him as Jehovah Jireh, when facts say this, he says, I want you to worship me in truth. Why? Truth trumps facts all the time. And what's he saying? When you worship me in truth above the facts or the circumstances, you're operating in faith. And what does faith do? Faith pleases God. But what's one of the main reasons that faith pleases God? Because God knows everything that he wants to give us hinges on us being in faith. So when he's saying, practice worshiping me in truth, he's telling you, I want you to worship me in truth, because when you worship him as Jehovah Jireh, when you can't pay your bills, you're demonstrating or walking into or practicing faith. I praise you as my provider when you can't pay your bills. Father, you are my healer. Glory to God. You're worshiping him in truth. That's what I wanted to say, is you're exercising faith. When you exercise faith, God says, I can move. I can bless them. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Start worshiping him in truth. What you worship him for, he'll be in your life. Amen. He will be. Why? You'll have what you say. Father, I thank you. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the healer. You are my healer. And you're sick as can be. Symptoms all over your body. That's worshiping him in truth. Why? It's a faith act. Praise God. Now, last but not least tonight, again, we're just keeping this simple, not trying to go super long here and confuse us. Because now we know we worship with our whole heart. What's that mean? We have to be disciplined in our worship, right? It's like I have to be disciplined. To pay attention to who's talking to you. You know, you can get busy, you can get all this and multitasking in your mind and your actions. And it's the same thing with God. No, there's times of worship. That's the beginning part of prayer. That's the place of prayer. Prayer, pray always and faint not. We're trying to get us into prayer, right? Starts with worship, but in the spirit. So we got to be disciplined. We have to, when our minds start to want, no. I'm thinking about you, Father. Hallelujah. You got to shut it down. You got to shut it down. I mean, am I the only one that's ever thought, man, I'd like to kill them? Maybe I am. It got kind of quiet in here. You know, man, it'd be, oh, I'd like to kill. I just love to be done. You know, I just love to do. But you don't act on that stuff, do you? What's that telling you? You can control your thoughts. You get that thought out of there. Or a thought comes to do something wrong. I plant a thought in your head right now. Let's go down and rob the super duper. I just plant a thought in your head. You're going to ignore that thought. That's what I'm telling you. You don't have to sit there with that thought and just take it. Amen? Amen? There's only been a few people on my kill list. They're bad people, let me tell you. I'm not talking about your run-of-your-mill people here. None of you are on it, trust me. None of you are on it. Praise God. I've been on someone's kill list before. Oh, yeah. A church lady. She came up to me and repented. She said, I got to tell you, I'm sorry, Pastor Mike. I've been taking bad thoughts about you. And I sarcastically said, oh, yeah, like what, thoughts of killing me? She said, yes. I've been having thoughts about killing you. I thought, wow. Ushers, help me. These are bad, bad people I'm talking about, you know. Hallelujah. I don't want to get into it because there's kids, you know. I'm talking bad, bad people. You're like, man, I'd just like to be done with them, you know. Maybe that's not godly, but I'm just telling you the truth. But I'd never acted on it. Praise the Lord. Number two, we worship in truth. Start worshiping him in truth. Getting in his presence. Father, I praise you for who you are. What are we doing? Giving you groundwork on how to play this game. Yeah. The game of prayer. Number three, and this is where we're going to close tonight. Why does God instruct us to seek him, to worship him? He says, I'm seeking it. He's trying to tell you, I'm desperate for this. Because worship brings the anointing to your situation. And what does God want to do? Bring the anointing to your situation. What does it say in Isaiah 10:27? The anointing will destroy the yoke. God doesn't want yokes in your life. He doesn't want bondages in your life. He wants blessing in your life. And he knows that one of the ways to get his manifested presence on the scene. You say, why is it like this? Well, some of these things we'll talk to him about when we get there, but we just know it's truth. And we could look at maybe why. We could come up with some theories and things and look at the word and stuff, but it doesn't matter all that. All we know is that it's true. In Psalms 22 and verse 3, don't need to turn there for time's sake, I dwell in the praises of my people. Well, when he shows up, he brings everything with him. Praise God. Go to 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. Basic stuff, but is it helping you? Amen. Last week was to get you to feel worthy that you can be in that place. Today's your starting place. What do I even say to God? This is what you say. You worship him. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. They lifted up their voice to the trumpets of cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. For then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. What happened? It ushered in the anointing. So that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the cloud had filled the house of God. They just were worshiping him. Praise God. Acts chapter 16, bringing the anointing on the scene. See, you won't even recognize or realize, like, getting into his presence and doing this, it will bless you. It will actually, yes, we're doing it to bless him, to be in that place with him. But he said to us, pray always, and worship's a form of prayer, and the result will be fainting not. And one of the reasons we won't faint is because we'll have his anointing constantly in our lives. Acts 16, of course we know the story. For time's sake, I won't tell it all, but in Acts chapter 16, we're talking about Paul and Silas, you know. They were thrown in prison for doing the Lord's work, and it says in verse 23, when they had laid many stripes on them, they're beaten. In the verse before, their clothes were torn off. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Well, if there's any time for the anointing, it'd be now. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Well, what do we know about praising? God inhabits the praises of his people. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Well, it wasn't because there was an earthquake naturally. It was a God earthquake, the anointing, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. What happened? The anointing destroyed the yoke. And they got out of that situation, didn't they? Well, think about it. God is telling you. He's saying to you, I'm seeking this. And the result, if you'll do it, my anointing will be present in your life for things to bust yokes off of you, to give you supernatural power and supernatural strength. Glory to God. Praise his name forevermore. Remember the details of the story. It was years ago, I think early 1900s, and I can't remember what sickness it was that was that the minister had come down with. And remember that the Lord had showed them in the spirit a scale, this like this with two weight, you know, where they put the weights on either side, and one was weighed down and one was way up, and one was weighed down with just prayers and requests. Nothing wrong with praying and requests, and we'll probably look at that. It was one of the awesome things about God saying, come unto me, ask me for things, you know. But this was weighted down, the prayers and requests were way down, and praise and worship was way up here. And remember what the Spirit of God said to this woman? When your praise and worship equals your praying, you'll be healed. It's not because God's tallying, because there's a purpose. There's an anointing that will destroy yokes with this. And we can't leave this out. And God is saying, I'm seeking such to worship me. Now, in closing, because again, I've talked to people. I know people need this broken down. I sat there with that gentleman. I said, sir, teach me how to plant food plots like I'm in kindergarten. I said, okay. I said, I'm not going to be offended, mate. Because at times he would say things like, I don't mean to make, and I said, no, sir, I'm telling you, make it as basic for me as possible. So when I'm doing this, I'm trying to help people that are so stuck in wrong thinking, right? We know we talked about praise and worship tonight. It's the entrance. It's where Jesus started. What's the Old Testament tells us? New Testament tells us? So what is praise and worship? Well, this is an easy way about to know what praise and worship. You praise him for what he's done. You worship him for who he is. Amen? So what do I do? Well, do you have anything to go to him and say, Father, thank you. Father, thank you for that financial miracle. Thank you for saving me. That's praise. And then worship me, Father, you are a Savior. You are merciful. You are powerful. You are wonderful. That's praise and worship, amen? And that's what he says to enter with. That's the beginning of prayer. See how simple this is? Prayer is not a hard thing. The devil's made it hard. Maybe some people have made it hard that try to be way over your head and things, and the world's made it hard and divided us from God. But God is telling us, I love you. I want you in my presence always. And just start by worship and praising me, and there's benefits for you. So are you ready to practice this tonight? We're going to, in a second, stand up, and we're going to do this for a little bit now. I'm not going to take all night to do it. You know, I understand we have lives, and God understands that too. But I just want us to have uninhibited praise and worship with him. What does that look like? Well, we're going to first start by standing up. You can get down a knee. You can sit down. You can sing to him, praise God. How many of you know you can also do this in tongues? You can worship in tongues, but for tonight's purpose, because I'll be honest, worshiping in tongues can take effort out of it. You know what I mean by that? Don't misunderstand me and say that it's wrong. That's wrong. But I just go off taking tongues and I don't have to think about it. I want God to know I'm thinking about him tonight. I want God to know that actually, because when I pray in tongues, I have no idea what I'm saying unless God reveals it to me. And so that can be easy, and it's nice. You're just driving along, or you're doing something, you just want to pray, and you're still praying and not having to engage the mind or worry about doubt and unbelief. Pray in tongues, that's part of why it's so wonderful. But at the same time, too, it takes my thoughts away. I want God to know my thoughts are with you tonight. I'm consciously thinking about what you've done for me, and I'm consciously thinking about who you are. And I'm coming into your presence. So let's keep it in English tonight. If you want to sing, you want to praise that way, just worship. But what we're going to do is we're going to stand up. And I want you to engage and pray, praise and worship. And I want you to be disciplined in the sense that when thoughts come in about what's still to do tomorrow, what you have to do at home, what am I going to do after this, what time? No, my thoughts are on you, Father. Wrestle that, discipline yourself back into that place. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. And let's just begin to praise him. Remember, praise him for what he's done. Worship him for who he is. Praise and worship. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Put your mind on him. He longs for this. Glory to God. Father, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. And when I say that, Father, that you're good, instantly things come to my mind of how you've displayed your goodness to my life. Father, thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me Jesus. Now, see, when I'm saying this and praying this, I'm telling you, my heart is engaged, my mind. The devil might tell you you're making it up. Your flesh might tell you, but you know you mean it. You know when you're engaged. Father, the goodness of salvation, the goodness to provide for me. Father, thank you that I have a home to go to, that I have a nice vehicle, warm clothes, Father, adequate provision by your hand, Father. Thank you that my body is healed because you are Jehovah Rapha. Oh, Father, I praise you. I magnify you. I glorify you. I thank you. You are healer no matter what my body's saying. You are provider no matter what my finances are saying. You are deliverer no matter what circumstances are saying. You are my answer no matter what confusion in my mind is telling me. Father, I praise you. And if you'll do this at home long enough, you'll get clarity. You'll get in that place in the Spirit. Things will be stirred up. The anointing will usher in. Answers will come. Bondages will be broke. You'll have such a rich, sweet time with him. And you are worthy to be in this place. You are worthy because he made you worthy. Thank you for righteousness. Oh, some of you need to get that revelation that you're worthy. So worship him for that righteousness. Thank you for making us righteous. Thank you for making us righteous, not based on our works, but based on what you've done. You have covered all my sin. You have covered all my faults and my failures. Father, I glorify you. I magnify you. Father, I praise you. I praise you. I praise you, Father. Worship you. Father, you are good. Now, my mind is trying to wander. I'm going to wrestle it back. Say, nope, that's not important right now. You're important, Father. You're important. I put that thought down. I put that thought down, and I put my thoughts back on you, my Savior. Is this helping anybody? Praise God. To show you how to do this, get you in fellowship with your Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, standby, comforter, help, my guide, the great I am. We worship you, we bless you, we honor you. Now let's all take it specifically and let's worship him for salvation. Let's praise him for salvation right now. Thank you for saving us. Thank you that hell is not my destiny. Heaven is my destiny because you have saved me. You are Savior. You are good. And Father, it was your plan. It was your idea. We're praying right now. Praise God. You can do it. Glory to God. We thank you, Savior. We thank you, Savior. I call you Savior. Your name is Savior. You are the Savior to me. You can join me or do your own thing. I call you Savior. Your name is Savior. Savior you are, and Savior you'll be. Hallelujah. Worship you. Praise you. I call you Healer. Your name is Healer. You are the Healer to me. I call you Healer. Your name is Healer. Healer you are, and Healer you'll be. Hallelujah. Even in singing that, my mind tries to wander, but no, I put it on you, Father. You are Healer. Let's worship Him as Healer. Worship Him as Healer. The fact that you can stand up, glory to God. The fact that you can walk out of here tonight, praise God. You are Healer. You are Rapha, glory to God. We worship you, Healer. We worship you, Healer. Thank you for healing our body. Thank you for healing me of that incurable sickness. Thank you for healing me of the fallout from that appendix episode. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that the majority of my days on the earth are spent in health. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are Healer. We worship you. I call you Jireh, Lord my provider. You are provider to me. I call you Jireh, Lord my provider. Provider you are, and provider you'll be. Come on and worship Him that way. Oh, He's shown up in big ways in your life. Thank Him for what He's done and worship Him for who He is. Thank you for providing for me in those 2 years, Father. Thank you for your hand of generosity. Glory to God. Thank you for when she quit her job, your provision was still there. Thank you, Father, for meeting the needs of this church month in and month out, week in and week out, year in and year out, Father. Thank you, Father. You are provider. You are so generous. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you. We glorify you, Jesus. We magnify you. You are kind. You are good. You meet our needs. You are El Shaddai, more than enough. Hallelujah. How many times have you been more than enough for me? When it looked like there wasn't enough, you weren't just enough. You were more than enough. Thank you, Father. I think you have more shirts than I need, more pairs of underwear and socks than I need, more suits than I need. I thank you. I have more food in my cupboards and more food in my refrigerator than I personally need because you're more than enough. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your generosity. You're so good to us. You're so good to us, Father. We love you. Thank you so much. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being so inviting. Thank you for being merciful. Thank Him for His mercy. You need to receive of His mercy, so you need to thank Him more for His mercy. Some of you are way too hard on yourselves. Some of you don't see yourselves the way He sees you. Start worshiping Him for His mercy, His kindness, His long-suffering, His patience towards you. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your mercy. Oh, I've needed your mercy. What is your mercy? Your goodness towards me when I didn't deserve it. When my actions didn't hit the mark, but your mercy came in and made up for it anyways. Thank you, Father. We love you. Make sure your mind, your attention is on Him. I know your body can get tired. There's things to do. Put it back on Him. One way is to close your eyes. And when you close your eyes, if your mind starts to wander, just picture. Yeah, let's all do this right now. Close your eyes. And I want you to put yourself right in front of His throne right now. Put yourself in that place of Him seated right on the throne and Jesus right next to Him. And worship Him that way. Oh, I praise you. Oh, I magnify you, Father. I glorify you. I worship you. I glorify you. I love you, Father. I love you, Father. Father, I believe the cries of our heart is to go forward different. That it's not an obligation. It's an opportunity. The God of the universe, you crave this. And you give us benefits for being here. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Father. We love you. We love you. We love you. Love you, Lord. Praise you, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. Just worship Him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We love that name. We love that name. We love that name. We love that name. Yes. 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 This is what the Spirit of God just said to me. In my presence, there's no confusion. In my presence is only clarity and clearness of mind. Hallelujah. What's that mean? If you're struggling for answers, you're struggling for help, spend more time in this place. Yeah, spend more time in this place. And that clarity that He already enjoys will be yours. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We receive that. We receive that. We worship you. It's one of the benefits. It's one of the many benefits of being here. Praise you. Praise you. Thank you, Father. We love you. We love you, we love you, we love you. We praise you, we magnify, glorify your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, I love you. 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 Father, we love you so much. We praise you tonight. We're going forward different with you, Father. You said you'd never leave us. May this message and the purpose and the heart behind these two messages so far be branded in us. May they be at the forefront of our mind. Hallelujah. We worship you. We love you tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Praise God. See how simple it is to pray, to worship Him. Glory to God. I'll tell you, you won't believe how wonderful things will be if you'll take time to be in just that place every day, every single day. Set aside time to what? Spend with Him. He craves it. He longs for it. And there's such great blessings. Amen? Amen? Father, thank you so much for tonight. We're growing. We're growing. We don't claim to be experts, but you're not looking for experts. You're looking for your children. And we'll grow and we'll know more and we'll go deeper. But Father, this is where it starts. I love it, the fact, Father, that Jesus would be the as deep as a minister could go. I mean, and He started right here with a revelation that you love Him. Hallelujah. And that you want Him in His presence. This is where He started. So we're in good company. Praise God. Father, bless each and every person for being faithful to come out here tonight. Lord, for sowing, for bringing their faith, for praying. Father, I don't take it for granted or take it lightly. I believe I'm in the company of amazing people. So, Father, I love you so much. We give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, appreciate you. We'll see you Sunday morning. You are dismissed. Impossible, your kingdom arrives.